Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Grind Season. This is Anthony Sane, one of your co-hosts of the Grind Season podcast, along with my good friend, Jason Smith, the co-host of the Jason and John Show, which you can hear every day, Monday through Friday, on 92.9 ESPN and Odyssey Station. Jason Smith, what it do, my brother?
My man, I got the club background. I'm feeling a little more up to date now.
Yeah, man, we're making a little minor upgrades to the show. We got our backgrounds back here. Y'all wait till we get this green screen going. It's sure enough going to be cold in a minute. But we welcome you guys for tuning in. Jason Smith, I had another person that gave me a direct phone call saying how much he enjoys our YouTube show. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. Numbers constantly increasing. Shout out to Odyssey Sports, the YouTube page, for providing a place for us to put our show on YouTube. Thank you guys for checking it out. Continue listening to the streaming podcast as well on Odyssey or wherever you guys listen to podcasts. Nice show lined up today. The Grizzlies, of course, have played two games since the last time we talked. They split with a win against Orlando Magic and a loss to Los Angeles Clippers last night at home. We'll talk about that today. Then we'll talk about Brian Windhorst. Says that teams are basically targeting matchups with our Memphis Grizzlies, Jason Smith. Teams like the Memphis Grizzlies, the Denver Nuggets, the Sacramento Kings. And they said that people like LeBron James and the Golden State Warriors said they smell weakness. We'll see what they smell, and we'll talk about that today. And we'll wrap the show up talking about Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks made some comments after the game that we're going to dissect. I actually heard you talking about this exact subject. I think it was on your show today, on the Jason and John Show. Might be mistaken. I think I heard you talking about it today. We'll definitely chop that up today on Grind Season. But as promised, like we said in the beginning of the show, we will talk about the two games since the last time we met. And that was the first game was a close win, a little bit too close to comfort against the Orlando Magic. The Grizzlies led by as many as 20-odd points in the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken. Third quarter they had a big lead against Orlando, allowed Orlando to get back into the game, made a little bit too close for comfort, and then ended up pulling the game out away in the fourth quarter against the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic are a strange team, a ton of young talent, kind of an odds and ends, kind of disjointed team, a lot of combo guards in that team, no true point guard on that roster, that young Orlando team. They got small combo guards and then a bunch of versatile, switchable small forwards.
The Wagners.
That's it. You know what I mean? But they start off the year pretty decent this year. A lot of people saying they'd be better. Then they just kind of fell back into doing what the Orlando Magic do. I think the Orlando team, because if you go back to Ja Morant and Cole Anthony's rookie year, when, you know, that was the year Cole Anthony was like, projected to be one of the top point guards in that class, especially when he was in college. You know what I mean? Cole Anthony had a lot of hype in college. Ja Morant didn't have as much buzz in college, not going into his sophomore year, of course, but of course, as the year went on, he got that buzz. But when they got in the league, Ja Morant just leaked Cole Anthony. You know what I mean? And there was a game where Cole Anthony hit a late game dagger to put the game away against the Grizzlies. Yep. And I want to say it's the same game that was the last game before the shutdown, before the pandemic shut everything down. If I'm not mistaken, it was the same game. But it seems like ever since then, there's just like a little chippiness between the Grizzlies and the Magic. I remember there was a clip came out where we blew the Magic out, and Ja Morant made a statement, and it was a sound clip, sound bite, where Ja Morant said, was that a game or a practice? And someone, and then Ja came back, and I think Ja came back or someone else came back and said, no, Ja was referring to Murray State in the NCAA tournament. And not the Grizzlies game. And people like, nah, man, you were talking about Orlando. And it just seems like Orlando really gets up for us. Like, they really, like, even that preseason game. Remember, Orlando really came at us hard during a preseason game. So it seems like there's a lot of energy, maybe some resentment towards of a guy like Cole Anthony, towards Ja Morant, who does a lot of talking on the court. But it's always a fun matchup. Those guys always come at us. Did you have any worries about that game being closer than closer than expected, with the Grizzlies kind of blowing the lead. In
that really. We had some coming into that one. I think it was a 6.5 or 7 point line going in. And I thought it was a little bit dangerous going into that game where they're holding out. Obviously, Ja Morant in that one. And you're saying, listen, this Orlando team's won 3 in a row. Just coming off a game against the Nets where they had 8 dudes in double figures. And I realize you're right. It's a lot of, you know, a lot of guards, the Wagners, like we talked about, Wendell Carter, but it's all capable dudes. And you're right. When they play Memphis, they see themselves in the sense that just like Memphis, they're one of the youngest teams in the league, but that's what they want to be. Listen, the pieces don't fit yet. There's a lot of young talent there. They're going to have to, at some point, I would think, move off Anthony because they've had a law jam at point guard. I mean, you drafted Suggs, you know, after you had Cole Anthony, you got Markelle Fultz in there. At one point, RJ Hampton, who initially was thought of as, okay, maybe he can be a 6'5 point guard, was in the mix. And I don't think that's helped Cole Anthony's development. So if there was something, you know, if there's more there, I don't think Orlando's done a good job of sort of setting the pathway for him. All that said, in terms of the victory itself, look, you took care of business in that fourth quarter, put him at bay when you needed to. Desmond Bain, 8 of 10 from the free throw line there down the stretch. In the end, you just want to handle business. I don't care what it looks like, but particularly in a game where you're resting, you know, Ja Morant on the first night of a back-to-back.
As you mentioned, the Grizzlies did rest Ja Morant in that game, still pulled out a win. Yep. Last night in the back-to-back game, the Grizzlies did not rest Ja Morant, but it seemed like they rested everyone else with a pulse. Ja Morant did play last night. Desmond Bane was out. Jaren Jackson Jr. was out. Of course, you're down Brandon Clark already. You're out Steven Adams. John Conchar didn't play last night. You had basically Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Santi Aldama, and
Luke Kennard in the starting lineup.
In your starting lineup, along with Xavier Tillman. And everyone on the bench was guys that were from your G League. Everyone, the last 4 guys that were available, the only 4 guys available on your bench were your reserves from the G League. Grizzlies were down for most of this game. Got the lead doing a couple times in the third and the fourth quarter, but were not able to hold off the Clippers. Russell Westbrook went crazy. I think he was perfect from 3, as well as Covington, who also was perfect from 3. Those guys were 12 for 12 from 3 combined. Robert Covington and Russell Westbrook. And also the kid they got from Denver, the combo guard.
Bones Highland.
Yeah, Bones Highland had a good game as well. Just a strange game. The Clippers ended up winning by 9. A lot of people in Grizz Nation are kind of going wild about this game. And, you know, it's just weird energy towards Ja lately. And it's like we've seen the national media try to punish Ja for coming back soon. Seems like some of the local Grizzlies fans are doing the same thing. Like they're like being – like saying – the Ja's not playing well, and he's, you know, playing for himself. And I think it's just a lot of much ado about nothing. But outside of the final score of the game, outside of the Grizzlies losing, something I do want to throw out to you, we both know that it was a back-to-back game. And I'm sure the Grizzlies' plan was, we're going to blow out Orlando, and we're going to put this game away early. We're going to rest our guys. We'll have an easy game. We'll come back and we'll play the Clippers, whatever. That didn't work out. You ended up resting guys for the second night of a back-to-back. Which I understand. And then you staggered and you played Ja by himself. This is my thought on this, and I'll throw this out before we wrap this segment up. My only concern is you've only had Ja back for a handful of games. There's only a handful of games left in the season. You still need time to kind of see what you are going into the playoffs. Understand back-to-back, understand all those things. You got 3 games and I think 4 nights or something like that. I get it. I totally understand it. You got the Clippers back in here again Friday. My only problem, Jason Smith, is that you don't have that continuity. You don't have that chemistry really rolling with Ja Morant in your starting lineup, with Desmond Bane cooking, with Jaren Jackson scoring. I really wish they would have sacrificed some of the energy and being fresh and all that, and protecting guys and load management and all that. I wish they would just play these games out at full strength as a warm-up for the playoffs, going to the playoffs warm, not concerned about anything, not concerned about chemistry, cooking, killing everybody. Plus, you also could have got this Clippers team who is without Paul George for the rest of the season. You could have pushed them out. You could have just helped push them down in the standings, possibly, to put them in that 7-8 play-in game as a team you might want to get in the first round, even with Kawhi Leonard. I think that Clippers team is a very beatable team in the first round. But instead, you just kind of threw out a whatever lineup. And it's like, what was the point of even playing Ja at that point? Because it's like, what are you throwing him out there to do? He's out there with guys he's not going to play with in a regular situation. He could get hurt. He could be out there trying to do too much. I just didn't understand the logic of resting guys, you know, this close before you get to the playoffs, knowing all the things you've had to go through chemistry-wise over the last few over the last month or so.
Well, to your point, I think that's why we've seen the Grizz injury report for this next Clippers game, and it's got everybody available in terms of the Jaren Jacksons and everything.
Everybody.
Trying to get as much of a dress rehearsal as you can because time is short, Sane. You're absolutely right. There's six games left. And you made a great point. Like, Ja in that game is not doing anything necessarily that's going to be, you know, what you want to see. Of course, to your point, it's we know Ja can get downhill, Sane, at any time he wants to. And there was a ton of that last night. It's him and Dylan sort of trying to beat the Rockets and the role players. But my point is, I want to see more of him and Jaren in that two-man game. More of him getting into Jaren as the number one option, like you said. And so what's the point of having him out there if you're not, you know, if you're not going to have something you can see in terms of trying to get this team on the same page going into the playoffs? So I'm with you completely. I wonder this. I wonder if it's a paralysis by analysis, over analysis in this case. But it looked like to me, and I realized Kawhi Leonard was out for personal reasons, wasn't with the team. Ty Lue did say, though, it's going to be a one-game absence. But if I'm the Clippers, I didn't want to win that game in the first place. Right. Because there's no part of me that wants Phoenix in the first round as the 4-5. And so I'm not accusing them of sitting Kawhi and that those weren't personal reasons. But when you march out there, 34-year-old Russell Westbrook saying, Covington, who has not been in the rotation of late, out there, one of your main guys. I go back to your point. There was an opportunity to get that game yesterday and not go along with what I consider their plan of being fine with losing that one. And again, because you've got, you know, in Ja Morant, the best player on the floor. So I thought it was a missed opportunity. I'm not as concerned about you know, them getting everybody together right now because I think it's coming next game. You don't have any more time, say. So your concern is valid, and I think it's about to get. We're about to see the answer come Friday. You don't have much more time. You want to see it against a more veteran team like the Clippers, who, oh, by the way, you've lost the first two of the three-game series with them. So I'm with you. It felt like a little bit of a waste of time, and Ja Morant is expending all of this energy, you know, trying to get them close at the end when, you know, a fact was if he'd had just a little bit more help out there, maybe you're not resting all of them. Maybe it's not Tyus, Bane, and Jaren Jackson. You'd had a little more, you're winning that game. So, man, I thought it was missed opportunity. And not to mention, you know, Sacramento in the meantime cuts the lead from three down to two for the two spot. And so it didn't help you there either, considering the fact that you've been so good at home and now Sacramento's, you know, a little bit closer to your tail than they have been.
Right. The Grizzlies right now are two games ahead of Sacramento in second place. The Grizzlies have, I think, six games left to go.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, you got six games left to go. I'll run through those now for those of you who care or might not have access to the internet or the Grizzlies schedule. you got the Clippers at home on Friday, then the Bulls on the road Sunday. You got Portland at home Tuesday. Then you're back on the road to take on New Orleans. You wrap up the season with the Bucks next Friday and next Sunday. You're on the road against Oklahoma City. A game that could be crucial, a game that could decide, you know, who plays who, who's going to be in the play-in, who's not in the play-in. Oklahoma City, of course, is they're leading the Dallas Mavericks. And I wanted to say they have a tiebreaker against them. Poor Dallas. You make this trade to go get Kyrie Irving, and it just don't work out for you.
We said it's ain't backfire now and later on you.
That's me and you both agree that's not going to play out well for Dallas. And I don't think it's – I don't like people knocking Kyrie Irving about it because it's not about Kyrie Irving himself. It was getting rid of all your role players to get him, and he's a guy that you got a guy beside Luka who can't defend. It's like a little Luka out there. You know, you got one of the most dynamic ball-handed scorers in the modern era. And Kyrie Irving, he just doesn't match up defensively with Luka Doncic being your other guard that's on the ball. And plus, they've had injuries, and it's just not working out. But I hate Dallas, so I hope that their season ends in six games. Shout out to that. something else that is definitely going on is the Brian Windhorst comments that came out about LeBron James, the Golden State Warriors type teams, things he's heard, dry snitching on these guys. We'll talk about that.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
But before we do, we thank you guys for listening to Grind Season. Remember to subscribe to us. Follow us on the free Odyssey app or wherever you guys listen to podcasts. Follow Odyssey Sports on YouTube. If you're looking at this video, subscribe, share the video, put it on Facebook, put it on YouTube, put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, put it on Instagram, whatever you need to do to get us out. We appreciate you guys. As we go into the second segment, like we said, Brian Windhorst put out some statements, dry snitching on some of the OG teams in the league, the Clippers of the world, the Lakers of the world, the Warriors of the world, saying Jason Smith, they smell something at the top of the Western Conference and his weakness. Said that LeBron James basically was like, man, my foot will be okay. I'm coming back early because I smell weakness at the top. I rolled my eyes when I saw these comments coming out from Brian Windhorst. There is an element of truth in what he's saying. I understand why these old teams feel that way, older teams feel that way. But there's also a reason why those teams are where they are, man. It's not like these teams have been playing possum all year and they're good teams. I've seen these teams lose to any and everybody the entire year. I saw the Grizzlies run over Golden State, and Draymond Green was talking about, I have to make myself get out of bed for regular season games. Man, whatever. You guys are not that good this year. Los Angeles Clippers, you guys are not that good. Lakers, you guys got a lot better at the deadline. You're not that good. And you're not just going to come out and just beat in one of these teams at the top. I myself question the Denver Nuggets sometimes. I question the Sacramento Kings. I question the Memphis Grizzlies. But here I am pulling for – I hope all three of those teams get out in the first round. And this old guard in the NBA moves on, man. And it's like you get these national media members that are like salivating over all these old-ass teams that are clearly hanging on to just old stuff and not want to give props to these teams that have been the best teams in the NBA the entire season. I don't get it. I'm sure you probably see this somewhat the same way I do, Jason Smith. So what are your thoughts on Brian Windhorst's comments and the particular teams in particular that are saying these things?
Well, I mean, he's as usual looking at it through a LeBron's lens, like you mentioned. I know they're not all necessarily on the same terms they were, you know, when LeBron was back in Cleveland and Windhorst started his career covering him. But I do think he's looking at it from the sense of, you know, LeBron's established title contender and, you know, in this sense, I do think in saying weakness, I think he's, you know, we're saying inexperience is what we're really saying. Because if you're talking about, you know, I know the numbers are down in the West. I know there's no real super teams or dominant team, but the West has got
good-ass teams, man.
Two of the top four teams with the shortest odds to win the title in the Nuggets and the Suns. Actually, the Suns now have the third shortest odds. They've moved ahead of the Nuggets. It's over at FanDuel. Yes, the Bucks and Celtics look like they're maybe, you know, a tier above the Nuggets, the Suns, the Grizzlies, Golden State. But two of the four best odds are two teams from the West. Past Philly, you've got Golden State right there, Grizzlies, then the Clippers. So it's five of the top eight teams with the shortest odds to win the NBA Finals are from the West. So you can't call it, you can't call the West weak. Is it inexperienced? Does it lack a dominant team? Does it lack the championships won of a LeBron James, that kind of thing? Absolutely, but it's not a weak West. So I think he, you know, in trying to make that take and trying to make that case, I think he, you know, in the way that he worded it, you know, the point was lost. Sure, maybe LeBron looks at it and says, listen, I can let me end up getting up to the six, take out the Kings who don't have an experience, and then if you are the team that knocks out the Kings, you got a good chance you're going to face a Grizzlies team that's never been to never been to a Western Conference Finals. So, again, you could look at it and say, you know, I'm not scared of anything if I'm a team like LeBron or whatever else. But those have been better teams, to your point. those have been better teams than you all season long. They're just inexperienced when it comes to championships won, right. Western Conference Finals experience. But they are not weak, man. So yeah. I didn't take offense at it because I understood what he meant. I just thought the boy got offensive because of the way I thought he worded it. It's as wide open as ever, but five of the best eight teams in the league reside, at least in terms of Vegas and odds, they reside in the West. That means the West, you know, again, I'm saying it's just more spread out now. Mm-hmm. And Windhorse and those guys come from this recent era where we've seen the super teams be the dominant ones. Things are more spread out, and the Grizzlies are certainly right there as a contender, as strong as any team, frankly, in the league, I'd say.
And we are seeing a lot of the narratives about teams. The sweet spots to be in the playoffs today are, in my opinion, 2, 3, 6, and 7. Those are the sweet spots to be. Because at 5, you have to play. You're gonna have to play Phoenix,
right?
Who now has Kevin Durant back. You don't want any part of that. And then the next round, you'd have to play either Denver. You probably have to play Denver in the next round. So you don't want to be 8 because you played Denver. You don't want to be 4 or 5 because you have to play Denver in the next round. You don't want to be 5 because you either got to play KD this round or you got to play KD, you know, the next round if you're at, you get what I'm trying to say, bro. You get the numbers, but
yeah, the four five, you're gonna have to play Phoenix, and then you're gonna have to play the Denver Nuggets.
You're gonna play Denver, yeah. Yes. So those are the spots people are trying to avoid. So I get that part of it. You would rather be in that the bracket that has Denver. I mean, that has the Grizzlies, has Sacramento. If you're one of those teams on the bottom, I get that. But to disrespect and act like those teams at the top shouldn't be there, or like there's weakness at the top, and y'all barely got winning records, or you got losing record, it's ridiculous for these guys to talk that way, for sure. But I get it, but like I said, I am pulling for, of course, the Grizzlies. I want to see Denver and Sacramento get out of the first round. Let's just anchor in the new era of the NBA, where you see the new young stars in the NBA go get fight for a championship. That's what I love to see for sure.
Let me ask you one real quick. Do you think the Clippers? And it sounds like the Paul George thing may be a thing where he doesn't get. But do you think the Clippers in a 4-5 with Phoenix, they get smoked? And it's is that a long, drawn-out series?
Yeah, if you Phoenix get healthy,
that'd be done. So that's what I'm saying. Why would the Clippers want any part of the 5 seed at this point, right, especially with 6 so close? I would not want to see Phoenix. They're 4-0 with Kevin Durant in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I know he had some rust the other night in the home debut, but he was shooting 70% in the 3 games before.
Right.
I wouldn't want any part of Phoenix if I'm the Clippers. That's a first round exit for sure.
Yeah, man, Phoenix is gonna be dangerous. I would love to get them, and I would love to get to the conference finals and take on that Phoenix team. I think that'd be a hell of a conference finals for sure. I'll admit, I don't want to sound like what LeBron and them are saying, but that Denver team, if Denver takes on Phoenix in the second round, I think Phoenix is getting Denver out of there. I mean, that's happening. But okay. I'm not gonna act like they're just chopped liver, like. Oh man, we come out to play in, you know, we go into the second round. Like, no, nah, man, like, I'm not going to count those dudes out. Yeah, man, I think they're better than that. But I get it. It's giving hater to me, but, you know, we'll see. I can't wait till this gets going. You know, the play in is going to be super fun. Both games in the West, seem like they're going to be super fun, whether it's the Lakers and somebody. Golden State can mess around and be there. You can see teams like Dallas trying to fight to get into the play in. I think the play in tournament this year is going to be super exciting. We talked about that last year already. So bring it on. I'm down for it. But nah, you target the Grizzlies, you're going to mess around and get your feelings hurt. Because when the Grizzlies feel like they're underdogs, man, that's when they really turn up for sure. So we'll see how they go. You guys, of course, are listening to Grind Season. We thank you once again on the free Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Shout out to our people, our loyal viewers on YouTube who are checking us out. We got the fly background. We're going to continue to make enhancements to it. We're going to crank it up on y'all. I know y'all like that joint. Look like we in a blue bar somewhere with a I like it though, bro. I like it for sure.
Yeah, it looks good, son.
As we go into our final segment of the show, Dylan Brooks after the game yesterday. I'm not sure who asked the question, but I did see that Drew Hill posted it on Twitter. I'm not sure if he asked him the question or not. Let me read what that tweet says from Dylan Brooks. He says he was asked about his pressure going into the playoffs this season. And Dylan said, "I've got no pressure. last playoffs, I was injured. Breaking news. Didn't know Dylan Brooks was injured. Did you know Dylan Brooks was injured last year?
Not. He was on the injury report with a foot, not with a hamstring.
Right. He says, I was playing with a torn hamstring. I left my heart out there and got penalized for it. We'll talk about what the penalty was. He said he got penalized for it. I found a way to build some confidence towards the playoffs, and I have no pressure. I'm going to knock down shots, play some defense, and get my team right for every battle we're going to have. Dylan, when asked what he means by he got penalized for it, says, I'm going to leave that in the rear view. I'm not going to explain myself on that, but that's how I felt. There was a lot of backlash from the media and backlash from people. I've had to deal with it this whole season. Jason Smith, for a quick second, I was like, well, maybe he's talking about the Gary Payton, alleged Gary Payton II. When I say alleged, I mean allegedly Gary Payton II is actually Gary Payton's son, which is another.
Man, stop.
That's one alleged thing. I was wondering, was he talking about that when he heard him, Gary Payton II, whoever son that is. I thought he was talking about that, right? I was like, I think Dylan's talking about the backlash that people had about him, like taking too many shots and blowing game six. And I think it was about that. Do you agree, right? He's talking about that, right?
There's no question that's what he's talking about. You saying when you said he shot him out of game six, right? That he never should, that he's the one that cost us the series. We still had a chance. He's talking about you saying you in the media. You were the main one, so don't be coming here trying to be on his side now, because you was the main one talking about he shot him out the game and shot him eventually, you know, out the playoffs as a result.
All the money Dylan Brooks had made me for Dylan the Villain merchandise.
So what he wants you to know is he took all those shots on a torn hamstring. That what it really was out there was not that's was why he heart. Broke. It wasn't nothing but straight heart, and that's all he plays with, bro. That's what he wants you to know. Feels like to me. Dylan Brooks is getting ready for the open market, man. That's
what I think. Exactly, bro.
Yes, man.
I'm so glad you said that, because there have been people. I saw this narrative going around when the job stuff went down, right? And Dylan's just been talking straight out of his ass.
Like, yes.
Like his lips are straight in his ass. And he's just saying some of the wildest stuff in the world, man. He's like, he said shit about Draymond. He's just saying all kind of crazy shit, right? And people are like, man, I think that Dylan is doing that to be a great teammate. Like, he's deflecting stuff off a job. Like, no, man, Dylan sees this as an opportunity to get his own name out there.
Do y'all understand that Dylan knows that this team tried to go upgrade over top of him at the trade deadline? Dylan don't care no more, man. And that's why he was willing to get that tech at the end of Denver. That's why he was willing to do the thing with Theo Pinson that ultimately got him kicked out for the next game. Dylan Brooks is doing Dylan Brooks right now.
I think he's marketing himself. I think he's trying to be that next. He realizes that the Patrick Beverleys, the Draymond Greens, those kind of guys are kind of fading out of the league. And for his generation, he can really be that true villain of the NBA. And I got a friend right now, D. Wilkes. You know D. Wilkes, right? Yeah. Coach of FACS basketball team. I called him the other day. He's like, same. Dylan Brooks is my new favorite player in the NBA. And I ain't said that since Kobe. You know what I mean? And you said, man, I just love him. He's an entertainer, man.
That's who that man thinks he is Kobe Bryant.
And I'm like, bro, I think Dylan is like, I hope the Grizzlies either win a championship, and so I won't care either way. Or they got a contingency plan, because I really think Dylan Brooks is about to get up out of here. Like,
man, I'm telling you, man. Did you see how many shots he took last night? See, that he loves when Desmond Bane or one of those guys is out of that lineup. Because
Bane and Jaren Ralph, he was getting up.
One of those comments he was making, saying he's been talking wild of late. Number one, he talks about he puts the Ja thing out there first about Ja asking to come off the bench. But he had also been talking about, you know, later in his career when he can take more shots.
After they played Dallas, they played Kyrie.
You're never taking this many shots, 24 like you did last night or anything close to that, when the Grizzlies have Ja Morant, Desmond Bain, and Jaren Jackson on the floor. They need 5 to 10 from you. And so this dude's already talking about at some point in his career when he might get more shots. Well, we know that's not happening anytime soon. And so and that's what the Grizzlies need. And so I just like, listen, I look at it. Last night he took how many shots? 24 shots. 24. Right. Why? Because that man thinks he's Kobe Bryant, man. It all comes back down to him. And listen, here's my thing. Because when it happened last night, I thought about you because I've been saying the phrase ever since I heard it from you when he did it with Jamal Murray. He put a battery pack in Westbrook last night. 34 years old. Man ain't had a 30 and 10 since 2021. Man. And that talking with Westbrook got him going. And I realized right. Westbrook then he takes advantage of Ja with the screens and everything else. But Dylan's talking is one of the things that got Westbrook going to that throwback game.
Right.
And saying the crazy can't be crazy to the point that it hurts your team.
Detrimental. Yep.
Calculated crazy with a purpose. And listen, that's why he's looked so good against Golden State, because the purpose has always been, man, let me get up under their skin, right? Let me. And he was great against Draymond Green the last one.
Yep.
But and the getting thrown out with the technicals, the Denver thing, all that. That's just Dylan being Dylan when, frankly, and to me, the concern is it's a Dylan Brooks that's decided, you know what? They've decided ultimately they're ready to move on from me, big picture, and in terms of the reports of going after Mikal and OG. So, you know what? I'm just going to be me, put it all out there on the floor like he loves to say, and do my thing the rest of the way. And frankly, saying for the chance this year, the Grizzlies' chance this year, which is a special one in a West that's wide open, that scares me, a Dylan Brooks that's playing for Dylan Brooks rather than for the Grizzlies in these playoffs.
Yeah, stay tuned, man. I think we are about to see a playoff where Dylan Brooks is. And I think it's going to be good. I think you're going to see games where Dylan Brooks wins games for us. But I think you're also going to see games where Dylan does Dylan-type shit. And it's going to look like, whatever. And I don't know how this season's going to end. I think the Grizzlies could literally do anything from get put out in the first round to win the championship. There's a parade in my city. Yeah. I believe anything in between can happen.
It really is. It is all possible.
I literally feel like any of those things can happen. But like I said, I hope we win a championship because I just don't think Dylan is going to be back next year. I think either by signing trade or him just going somewhere on an unrestricted free agent deal, you're going to see Dylan move on. His comments have just been too cryptic. Like he's clearly hinting at something. He's not throwing shade. Because how do you throw shade when you're one of the best teams in the league? But I think Dylan. I think Dylan is selling himself, and I think he's trying to adopt that villain role, trying to increase his value for this summer. I never thought he was doing this to relieve pressure from Ja Morant. I never bought any of that, man. But I'm down for it. Do whatever you got to do, man. If it makes you a better player in the playoffs, I'm down for it. And if this is a farewell tour for Dylan Brooks, we've had a ball.
We've had a ball. I would salute him. I've gave him multiple respect burgers. And listen, I hope it makes him money. With a lot of money with another team, but I just think the question has been answered this season in terms of how he fit with this thing.
And I could be wrong. You could see Dylan Brooks back next year, and I'd be cool with that too. Just being dead honest with you, Jason Smith, because like I said, basketball is about entertainment, and Dylan Brooks, no matter how you look at him, he's one of the most entertaining dudes in the entire NBA. He came out yesterday in that outfit, and I tweeted out he looks like a freaky, frisky vampire pilgrim. Jason Smith, that's what he's looking like—a vampire.
I saw that fool with them shorts and dress shoes on and white socks.
Yeah, man, for sure. But bro, like I said, you guys have listened to the Grind Season podcast today with Anthony Saint and Jason Smith. We appreciate you guys tuning in with us. We will see you again next week. Final weeks of the season coming up, Jason Smith. We're about to crank it to the playoffs.
Yes,
we know it's going to be fun. Final games wrapping up. The matchups are going to start making a little more sense. Those last games of the season are going to be so fun, so crucial. The ratings are going to be going through the roof because all those games are going to matter so much. Very little difference between the teams at the bottom of the playoff race trying to get into the play-in. And the Grizzlies will be seeing who they will be playing very soon. But we're about to slide out of here. We appreciate you guys again for listening, subscribing, sharing, watching on YouTube. We thank you guys. For Jason Smith, this is Anthony Sane. And keep grinding.